I think the kids are going to learn about Jonah today. Yeah.
I'm going to get up and go down there.
Yeah, really. Let's, if you would please, let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. That's where we're going to be spending our time this morning. I'm again reading the book of Genesis. I think if you were to just force me to, you know, answer which is my favorite book in the Bible, I think I would say Genesis. It is, you know, it's absolutely loaded. It's a foundation for so much. And we're going to see an example of that. We're going to take sort of a bird's eye view of some things regarding Abraham. In John chapter 8, Jesus Christ is having not a real friendly back and forth with the religious leaders. And they were accusing him of different things. And they had rejected him. They didn't believe on him. And they brought up Abraham. And they said that, you know, we have Abraham to our father. Jesus Christ at one point said, God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. That's not where it's at. But he goes on further later in John 8 and he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. Isn't that something? In Galatians, it says that that gospel regarding Jesus Christ was preached unto Abraham. You could spend a good deal of time looking in detail regarding Abraham, but we're going to, again, take sort of a bird's eye view. I don't know how much we'll be able to look at. But one of the things about Abraham, and there it is all the way back in Genesis. Okay? I mean, we just dealt with the flood. And men have spread out through the earth. In chapter 12, I believe chapter 11 opens with the Tower of Babel. And it goes down and continues, does a little lineage, and then we get down to Abraham. In Acts, I'm not going to turn there, but in Acts, in Joshua chapter 24. This is a record after Israel was, beginning to move into the promised land, which was a promise that God had made to Abraham. And Joshua to Israel says, and he said to all the people, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates. Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. So, you know, we learn how that the gospel was preached to Abraham. But on top of that, Abraham is an example. He's a type. Because God, and that's what I want to sort of see this morning, how that God takes this man who's an idolater, who didn't know who he was, and he takes this man who's an idolater and he becomes the father of believing. The father of all who are accounted righteous by believing on Jesus Christ. See, that's something God does. And the reason why I think it's important to understand that, because, you know, we read about these men, Abraham, and you read about David, and I mean, you see some great women in the Bible, and you know, they didn't come out of the factory that way. And it's sometimes that's, you know, it's hard because you're reading and you don't take time into account. There are years that pass between some of the events we're going to read this morning. We're going to see a place where Abraham doubted. He was a man. And hopefully I'll be able to show you at least some of the difference between where this starts and where this ends. We'll see how far we get. But to begin, let's go to Genesis chapter 12, as I said. In Genesis chapter 11, it's sort of interesting because verse 1 opens with, in chapter 12 of Genesis, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." It says the Lord had said. In Acts, you learn that God had introduced himself to Abram and had asked him while he was in area Babylon, in Ur of the Chaldees, whatever they called it, to move. Okay? Well, they did pick up, but they didn't quite make it into Canaan. They pulled up in Haran. And I don't know how long they lived there, but there came a point where Abraham's father died. And so here we are again in verse 1 of chapter 12. "The Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee." This is all God's doing here. "I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham departed. Moves to Haran, or departed Haran. "And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered." Verse 6, "And Abram passed through the land unto a place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land." Verse 7, again, "The Lord appears unto Abram, and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." This happens a number of times. "Unto thy seed will I give this land. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, Haran on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south." Now, we're going to stop here, and this, it goes on. He goes into Egypt. He tells them, because Sarah was so beautiful, "It's my sister." Kind of find out that's only half true. But he comes out of Egypt with great wealth, okay? In chapter 13, "And Abraham," verse 1, "went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto a place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together." Well, what happens here is, and we're going to come back to this record down the road a little bit, but briefly, there was a strife between Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen. And so they separate. And Abram tells Lot, you choose. You choose. And so he looked and he decided, here, East Valley, Jordan looks really sweet, awesome. Okay? So that's where he chooses to go. We're going to pick it up. So Lot goes into the plain, dwells near the cities of the plain. Then there's just a little caveat here in verse 13, which we'll come back and revisit, but not today. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. So even though Lot had chose the plain and this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful valley, who did it really belong to? It belonged to Abram. And to his seed. And I will make thy seed, verse 16, as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Go ahead, walk it. East, west, north, south. It's all yours. See? And I'm going to give it to your seed. Now, I want you to turn to Genesis 15. So chapter 14 is the record where these kings came into the land of Canaan. They were Mesopotamian kings to quell a rebellion. There were five kings against four. Lot gets taken. Abram takes 300 and some men and defeats this army that had basically defeated this whole part of the world. Abram goes with 300 and some men, gets all of Lot's stuff back, and Lot. Okay? So we pick it up in Genesis 15. Here we are again. And this is pretty remarkable. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You know, you think about this. You put yourself in Abram's shoes. He had just defeated these kings that had conquered all the way down into Canaan. And he had just defeated them, 300 and some guys. And yet, there's no retribution. There's no anything. Because God truly was his shield. He was his guard. So he said, fear not. You have nothing to be afraid of. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me you've given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. Now, God had promised previously that he would give the land to his seed. And he makes this promise to Abraham, you have nothing to fear. But where Abram comes back to is, I still don't have seed. I'm not getting any younger. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Verse 6, and this is the first use of the word believe in the word, and the first use of the word righteousness. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. In this verse, you basically have a microcosm of the gospel regarding Jesus Christ. We learn in Galatians 3 that that seed was referring to the Christ, which is what Abraham believed. He believed that that seed that would ultimately result in his descendants having an everlasting covenant, which we'll consider a little bit more in a minute, was that Messiah, was the Christ. And that's what Abraham believed. And it was counted unto him for what? For righteousness. Simply by believing. That's all Abraham did. He believed on that seed that God had promised. And he counted it to him for righteousness. But watch this. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to thee, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? See? From time to time in God's word, you see this kind of thing. There is a questioning that denies God's word. But there's also a questioning that is based on or rooted in a desire to believe God's word. Another example, I'll give you another example. Record you're familiar with. In Luke, you have Zacharias, the father of John. Remember? And the angel said, yeah, you're going to have a son, you're going to go home, here he is. This is what he's going to do. And Zacharias said, well, how will I know? And, yeah, Gabriel says, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Okay, you're not going to talk until this comes to pass. But then you had Mary. See? And it wasn't a questioning of denial. It was a questioning of a desire to believe. But she couldn't understand how that she had never been with a man. How can she have a child? That's a valid question. Isn't it? Yeah. Absolutely. And so it was rooted in a desire to believe, but a lack of understanding. Another example is Gideon. You know, where the angel said, you know, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. You know, and Gideon, well, you know, if the Lord's with us, how come he wasn't saying that because he was denying who God was? He was saying it because he desired to believe. Because if God is with us, the God that I know, he would be defeating these clowns. Right? It's a different kind of questioning, isn't it? And the reason why I bring this up is because you see this in the lives of people in the Word of God. And it's a growth. You grow with God. You know, when I first got in the Word, I was taught simply that, you know, doubt is an enemy of believing. If you're doubting, you're not believing. Well, sometimes I just don't understand. That's okay. Sometimes I'm in a situation or a circumstance where it's hard for me to see my way out. It's hard for me to see how God can get me out of this. But I know God's good. I know it. I know he's faithful. That's all I know. I don't know anything else. I can't figure out how he's going to do this. You ever hear of such a thing? Sure. But that's okay. You know what Abraham does? He opens his heart to God. You know, twice in the Word of God, he's called the friend of God. You know what friends do? They talk. They're honest, face to face. That's what friends do. And so God, so Abraham, okay, I'm an old man. So, God says, doggone it. No. So he says, look it, I'm the Lord that brought thee out of the land of the Ur Chaldees. Give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how do I know? How do I know I'm going to inherit it? Because it's going to come from his own bowels. It's going to come from this seed. God says, take me a heifer 3 years old. She-goat 3 years old. Ram of 3 years old. Young pigeon, so on. Lays them out. Now, this was a custom at the time. It was actually called cutting a covenant. And the parties would pass through these animals that had been sacrificed and split in half. It sounds gross, but that's what they did. And as they're, what they were saying was, if I break this covenant, so be it unto me. This is what should happen to me. Okay. Well, Abraham does this, and then the word says God causes a deep sleep to come upon him. And here's what he saw. For at the end of verse 12, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they'll come out hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace, which represented God, and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And in the same day, the word made is the word cut. It was called cutting a covenant. He cut a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, past tense, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and then on listing these nations. One cut the covenant. It was God. It was on him. It talks about this in Hebrews. Abram was simply a party to it, but there was nothing on his part, only God's part. See? Isn't that something? And you see how God just works with this wonderful man. See, let's go to Genesis 17. Let's read a few verses in this chapter, and then we're going to close over in 22, I think. Oh, we might read a couple verses in 21. Genesis 17, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, or be thou complete or upright. See? This is a little different. There's some growth that's taken place, isn't there? Starts out with, you know, I will be your God. I need you to do this. Okay? And then a constant reminding. Here it's, walk thou before me. Isn't that something? And Abraham could, because he believed on that seed, on that promised seed, on Christ. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. What's happening here is God is really doubling down on this. Abram's 99 years old, past the time. He can't have kids anymore. He can't have kids. It's done. Talked about that in Romans. Sarah's done too. It's over. She can't have kids. Abram means father. Abraham means father of many nations. So it's like he's had to live all this time as, you know, with the name father hung around his neck. Now God says, yeah, think that's tough? Now your name's father of many nations. Isn't that awesome? You know, and you just see, you know, I just love these records. There's so much learning in it, how God is willing to work, how good God is. Even when we don't see it. And I will make thee, verse 6, exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger. And then continues on. Again, we learn in Galatians that the seed by which all of this would come to pass would be Christ, the Messiah. And it is by believing on Jesus Christ that we're all children of Abraham. It is through Jesus Christ that all the nations of the earth are blessed. And it is by way of Jesus Christ that these promises to Abraham are going to be fulfilled. Jesus Christ talks about it. He talks about it in the Gospels. You know, again, talking to those who didn't believe on him. He said, in that day, you're going to come to me and say, what? What? We were with you. We saw you. We saw you teach. Jesus Christ said, it's an illustration, but he says, I never knew you. I never knew you. It's the illustration where he's teaching about, you know what, let's just read it. Wow, I typed it up. Oh, this is great. I didn't even realize I did that. Luke 13. I forgot I did it. Luke 13, verse 24. It says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, he shall answer and say unto you, I don't know from where you're from. I don't know you. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and you taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Isn't that something? That way being narrow is in reference to there's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. There is no other way. That's the narrow way, Jesus Christ. See? These Jews thought that by virtue of being children of Abraham, they could get in, or by virtue of the commandments, they could get in, or by virtue of claiming Moses, they could get in. All these different things. There's only one way, Jesus Christ. That's it. See? It's narrow. Many are going to try and get in. There's 100 different things that people do and try, right? Mm-hmm. All self-righteousness. But the only righteousness that is true righteousness is what we read in Genesis 50. Believe on that seed and God accounts you as righteous. Isn't that something? That's the gospel. And Abraham's life is an example of the gospel. taking a man who is an idolater, an enemy of God, and over the course of that life, becoming the father of them that believe. That's what God can do. Mm-hmm. See? I'd like to go to Genesis 22. But we're going to stop in 21 on our way. The chapters we're skipping over, we will come back to at some point. They regard Lot, Sodom, Gomorrah. There's just some great things to learn, regarding, because understand, Lot knew what Abraham knew. As a matter of fact, in the Word, it says that Lot was righteous because he believed on the Messiah. He believed on that promised seed along with Abram. But look at the difference in their lives. Look at the difference in what where they landed. And there are reasons for that, and we'll see that. But it's not because God's not faithful. It's not because God's not. As a matter of fact, God bent over backwards for Lot. Because God is good. See? And he did it out of deference to Abraham. Which is sort of a prototype, isn't it? Of our being in Christ. And that when God looks on us, he sees Christ. See? And he does what he does for us because he sees Christ. It's really something. And then to read these things in Genesis, like, God had a plan. It's just it's exciting. Genesis 21, verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. He had told earlier a couple of angels, those are the guys on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah. They happened to stop by and say hi to Abraham. And one of the things they said is, your wife is, she's going to get pregnant at this time next year. You know, huh? As Sarah overheard him and laughed. But anyway, verse 2, for Sarah conceived. Who else conceived where it was impossible to do that? Yeah. He saw my day. He rejoiced. And bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all who hear will laugh with me. She said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? God. For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 22. And I want to read this because it's just, it's an amazing, amazing record. Again, the gospel was preached to Abraham. And here we've seen where Abraham begins an idolater, ends up this amazing man who walks with God. It wasn't that he didn't go through things. He did. He was a man. But he just stood and he stayed put. And that's what happens when you stay put. You see God work and you see his faithfulness more and more and more. And then the things that shake you now, 5 years from now, won't even bother you. It's called growth. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes, you go through, there's confusion, there's this, there's that. You just stay put. God is good. He's good. He's always good. We're here in Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, or test, really is the word, and said unto him, Abraham? And he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. Moriah is mentioned in 2 Chronicles. It was on Mount Moriah where David bought that threshing floor, which was the spot that Solomon then built the temple. That was on Mount Moriah. So this area or country of Moriah would later be where God would place his name and where the Messiah would ultimately be crucified, you know, on behalf of all mankind. He saw my day and he rejoiced. Isn't that something? And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Understand very briefly, a burnt offering, it is not a burning alive, it's nothing like that. You would take an animal, you would, and what it was is the idea was that you know, in the sacrifice, the innocence of the animal would pass, the guilt of the one offering, the sacrifice would pass to the animal would then be slain. Okay, and then the fat and so on was burnt because it was a sweet-smelling savor. It was that's sort of a brief thing about burnt offerings. So, Abraham rose up early, gets the wood, rose up, went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I and the lad are going to go worship, and we will come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, Dad? And he said, Here am I, son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My God, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to a place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lamb, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. This ram was a substitute for his son. It was a substitutionary sacrifice. You ever hear of such a thing? Abraham says, son, God will provide himself a lamb. And God did. And that would be his son, Jesus Christ. Abraham was as willing to sacrifice his son as God would one day be to sacrifice his son. And Abraham, it says in Hebrews, knew that that seed would come from Isaac. Hence, God would have to raise that boy from the dead. That's the place he had gotten to in his life. He was so convinced of that promised seed that he knew that even if he sacrificed his son, God would have to raise that son from the dead so that his promises could be fulfilled. Now Abraham saw the gospel from God's perspective. And it says in Hebrews that he received his son back in a figure. Because for those 3 days, his son was as good as dead, right? And then God stopped him at the last moment. So he received his son back to life, just as God later would. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. See, he saw my day and he rejoiced. It's just remarkable. It's remarkable. But you see all of this so early in the game. Seeing it's God showing, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. You know? And you know, again, those promises to Abraham, those promises regarding Israel, those are yet to be fulfilled. Romans talks about that. Those things are just held up until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. See? Isn't that something? And there's a lot of the Word of God that talks about those days and how they'll be fulfilled. But again, it'll be the seed, that promise seed, Jesus Christ, who will bring it about, bring it to pass. So, anyway, from idolater to father of believing, pretty cool, huh? That's our God, man. That's our Father. You know, we're reading dad stories. And he works with us like that. This is so amazing. So, Father, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for your love, your faithfulness, your goodness to us. How the Father, we are in Christ. We look back on these things that Abraham looked forward to. Thank you, Father, for how you work with us. How that you know our frame, Father, and you know our weakness, and you know all this stuff. But by way of your Spirit, you enable us to walk with you, to be men and women, Father, who can manifest your love, your power, your goodness to the world. Thank you, Father, for these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay.